On Sunday evenings, we have been looking at lives that have been changed by Jesus Christ, and the list is long. There are so many individuals that we see in the pages of the Bible whose lives were dramatically altered by the presence of Christ. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at the book of Acts, and we're just going to try to make our way through some of the conversions that we come across in this great book. Tonight, we're going to focus on a man that Philip was led to by the Spirit of God. When Philip met Jesus, his life also was changed. Philip was dedicated to spreading the news about his Savior, and this Philip that I'm speaking of is not Philip the Apostle, but rather Philip the Evangelist. He is the Philip that we read about in Acts chapter 6. A couple chapters later, Philip is doing what every Christian should be doing daily. He was talking about Jesus. He was taking the gospel to other people. In the setting where we'll find ourselves tonight is a road leading out of Jerusalem, where he comes across a man who's leaving Jerusalem, a eunuch. This encounter, this direction, this movement away from Jerusalem is in many ways the story of the early church. We have the eunuch who had went to Jerusalem probably for worship, probably to see what was going on, and he's traveling back from Jerusalem to Ethiopia. And the story is written by Luke, which opens with Jesus, after his suffering, speaking to his disciples for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Luke is trying to get our attention focused on God's kingdom, on what Jesus established when he died. When we enter Acts chapter 1, is immediate after Jesus had ascended to heaven. Right here at the beginning in Acts 1, Jesus ascends to heaven, and we see the apostles taking the gospel, taking this charge personal. And the kingdom of God is the focus. People who are added to God's kingdom, people who are part of that kingdom, living as citizens in the kingdom. This conversation there in Acts 1, it took place on the Mount of Olives. Remember that Sinai was a mountain. 40 was the number of years the people wandered in the wilderness. And a kingdom of priests was God's desire in Exodus 19. It benefits us so much if we have an understanding of the entire Bible. Now that seems daunting at times. The Bible, it seems so big, there's so many pages, there's so many stories, so many people. But if we can understand the big story of the Bible, it helps us understand Acts 1. It helps us understand what we see in Acts 8. Everything is connected together in such a beautiful way. If you remember back in the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy, Moses talks about the penalty that would be paid for sin. And so we have this moment between Jesus and his disciples in Acts 1. And it's actually loaded with references taking us back to the Old Testament, taking us back to Moses, to the Exodus out of Egypt. And what Luke wants us to see, he wants us to see that there's somebody new. Somebody new is in charge, somebody new is in place. A new Moses is leading a new Exodus. And in Acts 1, 7 and 8, these are the words that Jesus shares with his apostles. Now these words are spoken just before Jesus ascends right in front of them. So put yourself here. You're here with the apostles in Acts chapter 1. Jesus has been killed. He's been buried. He's resurrected. He has made these appearances over a period of time. And now he's sharing his final words. This is it. The last words that you will ever hear spoken directly by Jesus. And he says to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." The very last words that Jesus shares with his apostles are words about their mission. This is what you need to do. This is what your life should be focused on. Now, sometimes I wish we had this type of direction. Don't you wish it was this easy? Somebody just looked us right in the eye. Somebody speaks directly to us. This is what I want you to do with the rest of your life. This is what your daily existence should look like. You need to do this. This is what Jesus is doing with the apostles. This is it for you guys. This is what I want you focused on. This is what I want you to do. I want you to be my witnesses. All over the world. Right here where you're at, they're in Jerusalem. Start right there, guys. Tell people in Jerusalem about me. But then the message is not contained right here to Jerusalem. The message is too big to keep isolated. So take it to Judea. Take it to Samaria. Take it to the remotest parts of the earth. Everywhere. Tell everybody about me. Being a witness in Jerusalem, it really wasn't that much of a stretch. That's where the apostles were living. That's where they're at. But Judea and Samaria, that makes things a little more complicated. The Judeans and the Samaritans, we know, they didn't like each other. There was great division and animosity between these two regions, between the groups of people living there. Judea, they were known for their strict religious piety. Samaria was known for its compromised religious customs. And that's how they viewed each other. They viewed each other with contempt. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's just stay apart. Let's just stay isolated from each other. If you think back to Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well in John 4, that was revolutionary. It was groundbreaking. What you see happening right there with Jesus and the woman at the well, it was a shadowing of what Jesus wanted to happen everywhere. Jesus, he ministers to this woman. Jesus, he ministers to this lady who was from Samaria. The apostles, they were confounded. Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you wasting time with her? Why are you talking with her? Jesus was laying the groundwork. Hey, guys, you don't know it yet, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to minister to some women in Samaria. I want you to minister to some people in Judea. I want you to go everywhere, all over the world, and let people know about me. You know, the Jews, they worshiped in Jerusalem. The Samaritans, they worshiped on a mountain in Samaria. But right here in Acts chapter 1, you notice what happened? Right here in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, he brings them together. Because it doesn't matter if you're living in Judea, it doesn't matter if you're living in Samaria, it doesn't matter if you're living in Ethiopia and Nigeria and Haiti and Brazil, any other place you want to name, it doesn't matter where you live, you need Christ. You need Jesus in your life. And so Jesus, he lays it on the line for these men. This is what I want you to do. This is what your life should revolve around. Judea and Samaria, they were neighbors on a map, kind of like Oklahoma and Texas. They existed side by side, but they were anything but this in reality. And Jesus, he brings them together. Jesus, he tells the apostles, go to Judea. The apostles are probably thinking, yeah, we get to go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Boo, boo, Jesus. We don't want to go there. We don't like them. I wonder at what point the apostles thought back to John 4. At what point did they think back to Jesus and that interaction that he had with that woman there at the well in Samaria? Because what would start in Jerusalem, it was to go everywhere. Now this is going to be a big trip. And it took a persecution of the church to get people scattered to all of these areas. It's as if Jesus is saying to the apostles, if it happens in Jerusalem, now there's a lot that has happened in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, that's the center of the news right now. Everything that's taken place with Jesus, a guy has died, he's been crucified, and now he's alive again. Hey, a lot of newsworthy stuff was taking place in Jerusalem. And now the apostles are going throughout this city, spreading the news, spreading the name of Christ. But if it happened in Jerusalem, It was going to be impossible for it to stay there. What happens in Jerusalem can't stay in Jerusalem, because Jesus is going to make sure of that. He wants his name shared everywhere. If it's liberation for all humanity, for all creation, how could something that massive, that big, that true, that good, that compelling stay in Jerusalem? You see, God wants to save you. Just like he wanted to save Philip, the evangelist. Just like he wanted to save the Ethiopian eunuch. God wants to save you. But not just you. He wanted to save those people in Jerusalem. And he tells the apostles, hey, you might as well start here. That's where you're at. You know, for us, doesn't it make sense to start right here? Right here in Norman? Right here in Purcell and Washington and Noble? In the areas where we're living? Isn't that just logical? Hey, you're living there. You're interacting with people there day by day. You're going to school with people there. You're at the university here. Doesn't it make sense to start right here? But then it just spreads. Because the news is too good to just stay right here. Because Jesus, he wants to save all humanity. So this story right here in Acts chapter 8 of Philip and the eunuch, it really is a small sampling of what Jesus wanted to happen across the globe. We get one individual picture, one Kodak Polaroid moment that Jesus once spread over and over and over again throughout the world. Let's look at what happens. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. Remember Jerusalem? That's where they were to start. And were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. You realize how hard that was for the apostles to do? That wasn't easy. Remember how difficult it was for Peter to reach out to Cornelius, a Gentile? It was a struggle, but they're doing it. I look at the apostles in the book of Acts, and one thing that I learn that's important to learn, I can do difficult things. Even when Jesus asks me to do things that are tough, that are challenging, that are difficult, we have examples like the apostles going to these villages. And it wasn't just one isolated village. It wasn't the apostles saying, all right, we went to a village here, check it off the list, we're done. They went to many villages. They went to a lot of Samaritan villages. Now, why did they go there? Well, they went there because Jesus told them to go there. They went there because that's where people were. And wherever there's people, the gospel needs to be there. So Luke, he tells us that the gospel is spreading. It's spreading from Jerusalem to the many villages of the Samaritans. And then we pick up in verse 26. God is still at work. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch. Now notice the progression. From Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, to Ethiopia. Do you see what's happening? What Jesus wanted, what he told the apostles to do back in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, he has these men surrounded around him. They were huddled up. I just picture that in my mind. Here they are all together. Jesus, what are the last words you have for us before we go out into the world? And Jesus tells him, I want you to take the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the remote ends of the earth. It's happening right here in front of our eyes in Acts chapter 8. It's happening. Jerusalem, Samaria, Ethiopia, the remote corners of the world. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. The message of Jesus is spreading. Luke tells us that the eunuch is reading from a book, Isaiah. He's leaving Jerusalem. He went there to worship. He's traveling back home. But the eunuch, he doesn't know who he's reading about. He doesn't know who the prophet is talking about. The eunuch, he wants to know more about this person. Who is the prophet writing about? Who is he speaking of? I need to know more. And so the Spirit leads Philip here to this chariot, to this eunuch, to share the gospel. Remember Jesus' commission to the apostles? We can't forget it. Because that was Jesus telling a group of men, this is what your life should revolve around. Now, I mentioned earlier, wouldn't it be great if we had that direct of a statement? If we had that type of purpose, that direction that was so specific, this is what your life should be about. Don't we already have it? Isn't this what we are supposed to be doing? No matter what we are, no matter who we are, shouldn't our lives revolve around Jesus? And for me, it's impossible to think that my life is all about Christ if I never speak his name, if I never talk about him. We continue in verse 30. Philip, he asks the eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you know what this is about?" And he said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" I wonder how many people are living right here in Norman today who just need somebody to guide them. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Here on a road leaving Jerusalem, we have an Ethiopian hearing the significance of Isaiah's words explained in a language he can understand. He could understand the language, but he was struggling with the message. "I need help. I need a teacher. I need a guide." Now for us, we read Acts chapter 8. We listen to Isaiah. And we know exactly who the prophet is talking about. When we look at this phrase, "He was led as a sheep to slaughter," our minds instantly go to the cross. When we read about a lamb before its shearer as being silent, we think about Jesus when he hung on that cross and all of these people abusing him, verbally abusing him, and Jesus just silently taking it. But not everybody knows. Philip knew. Philip knew who the prophet was talking about, but the eunuch did not. Who was led as a sheep to slaughter? Who did not open his mouth? Who endured this humiliation? Who lost his life? Tell me, who is the prophet talking about? There's some questions that seem so easy for us to answer. They're not as easy for other people. There's a lot of things that we take for granted. If you were raised in a Christian home and you had the opportunity to open up God's word, you were at Bible class and you had teachers who dedicated themselves to teaching you the gospel, to teaching you the story of God through his word. What a blessing. Don't take it for granted. I think we take that for granted way too often. And we just assume that everybody has the same level of knowledge, that everybody has had the same opportunities that we've had. That's not the case. I think sometimes we also take it for granted being part of a church family where we're comfortable, being part of a church family where we've been there for many years. We know where the classes are. We know the people. We have our friends. Not everybody has that. Some people, every time they step into a class, sometimes people, when they show up here for worship, those are moments of anxiety. Don't take things for granted. And see yourself as a minister. See yourself as someone who can help. Now, what message did Philip share with the eunuch? I love what we see in Scripture. We look here at Acts 8, verse 35. We have all of these questions. All of these things that the eunuch was reading about, he has questions. Who was this person? Who was this person? Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? And I love how this message is described to us. Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. You can take any scripture in the Bible, and if you know the Word of God, as you look at that scripture, it will lead you back right here to Jesus. Jesus is the story of the Bible. It shouldn't surprise us that Philip, he started with that passage. He started right there in Isaiah 53, and he preached Jesus to him. Philip opened his mouth. There's a start. We can just speak. We can just get the words out to our neighbors, to our friends. If we could just speak that great name. He opened his Bible, and he opened up a door to the eunuch. I imagine that all of us know something that we could tell other people about Jesus. I imagine all of us know at least one scripture about our Savior that we could show other people. I don't know everything that Philip preached to the eunuch. I wish we had the full manuscript. We have the sermon in Acts 2. We looked at that last week, that powerful sermon that Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost. We have such a big picture of that sermon. But right here, we just have a word. We have a name. He preached Jesus to him. Sometimes that's all we need to do. I've said this before. I believe it's so true. If you know why you became a Christian, and you know how you became a Christian, then you have a story to share. And what Jesus asked the apostles to do, you remember what he asked them to do? I want you to be witnesses. Now, they were eyewitnesses of everything that Jesus did. You talk about men who had a blessing, who had an opportunity to see the gospel just unfold right in front of their eyes. They were eyewitnesses. Now go be witnesses. Go tell other people what you've seen. Did Philip tell him about the virgin birth? Perhaps. Did he tell him about the miracles? I'm sure he did. Did he tell him about the amazing teachings about this life that was so unique, so set apart? I know he told him about the gospel. I know he told him what had happened in Jerusalem. Now, the eunuch had just been in Jerusalem to worship. And Philip is filling in the details. Everything that Jesus did. The story of the church. The story of salvation. He told him about Jesus. In this moment, not only are we seeing a man getting an opportunity to be saved. Now, do you see that? As Philip tells him about Jesus, what Philip is doing, he's given a man an opportunity to have his life completely changed. Because this Ethiopian man, this eunuch, he was just like us, a sinner needing salvation. And Philip, he's opening that door. This is the way. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to forgiveness. That's happening right in front of our eyes. But we also get to see Jesus' dream come true. The words that he shared with his apostles back in Acts 1. They did it. Philip the evangelist, he's doing it. We often miss the big picture of the Bible. Even when it comes to our salvation, sometimes we miss some of the big picture moments. As we continue to look at this story, we have Philip answering the questions of the eunuch. The eunuch wants to know, who is the prophet talking about? Who was led like a sheep to the slaughter? Who was silent, did not open his mouth? Who endured this humiliation? And Philip, he opened his mouth and he preached Jesus to him. And this is what the eunuch said in response. As they went along the road, so it's like they're just traveling here on the chariot. And as they're traveling, Philip is preaching. It's Matthew 28, verse 18. Go, go and make disciples of all the nations. That's what they're doing. They're going along this road, and they come to some water. And this is what the eunuch says. Now, he's been told about Jesus, and this is his response. Look, this guy's excited. Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Somewhere within this conversation, Philip told the eunuch what he needed to do to be saved. Somewhere in this lesson, in this interaction, the eunuch realized he needed help. He realized that he was a sinner. In response to seeing water, he immediately, look, there's water. What prevents me from doing this? What prevents me from being baptized? This was the doorway to a new life for this man. Now, if we have the mindset about baptism, that as soon as we do it, we're done, we don't have to do anything else, I think we're taking God's grace for granted. I think we're abusing it. It's when we are baptized into Christ that we can finally live. It's when we're baptized into Christ that we have the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10. We have a life that's not marked by sin and guilt and condemnation and slavery to Satan anymore. You see, baptism is a picture of an exodus. We're exiting an old life and we're entering a new life. Baptism allows us to become a new person. We leave the past behind and we're free to a new life serving Christ. The eunuch, he wanted to experience this. He wanted to move from the old to the new. He wanted to move from oppression to hope, from captivity to freedom. That's why he desired to be baptized. Look, water. What prevents me from being saved? What prevents me from being freed? What prevents me from having this new life, this abundant life? What prevents me from walking with Jesus? As always, we come back to us. And this is where we will close. What you see right here in Acts 8, what took place on this road thousands of years ago, it's still possible. If people will just go tell others about Jesus, this scene can be repeated over and over and over again. We can experience what the eunuch experienced on that desert road leading out of Jerusalem. This new life in Christ, it's available to us. And what we see right here in Acts 8, just as we've seen week by week, it's another picture of change. A man's life who was changed by Jesus. Tonight, it's available to you as well. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to do what the eunuch did, the plan is still the same. Our problem is still the same, and our Savior is still the same. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.